in Presburg, in the Austro-Hungarian Empire, and in Lemberg, in Lvov. Those three cities each, Volozhin wasn't a city, it was a village, but those three places in the 1820s developed a new system of higher education, so to speak, amongst Jewish young men. And even though it was a system for the elite and not a system for the masses, it produced so many great people and such a high level of scholarship and attainment that the Haskalah more than found its match. And that these are the people who really turned back the Haskalah. Fought it, turned it back. They were the intellectual arm, let us say, that devoted itself to its defeat. Much as last week I discussed with you Samson Raphael Hirsch and Hildesheimer in Berlin and the neo-orthodoxy there, which turned back the tide of reform, who proved that they were as German and as intelligent and as civilized and as relevant, and yet they represented Jewish tradition without having to give up what reform gave up. The third group, which I hoped also to speak to you about in one lecture, is the birth of the Musar movement. The great Musar movement by Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, which he originally intended to be a movement for the laity, for the masses, but again later turned into an elite movement, but it was a movement that had wide respect. It was a movement of ethical behavior. It was a movement of renewal and of polishing the beauty of the Torah so that it became apparent to all. And when that happened, so then again, many of the accusations of the Haskalah no longer were relevant. And many of their words and slogans now fell on deaf ears. The final thing that the Haskalah did not reckon with was the Russian government itself. They did not realize the depths of hatred which the government had to the Jewish people and the lengths that it would go to enforce that hatred. By the 1860s and 1870s, it became clear to everyone that the Jewish situation in Russia would not improve short of major revolution, and that the way out was really emigration if one wanted to get out, but that there was very little hope for significant, meaningful change in the Jewish communities in Russia, at least vis-a-vis the Russian government. And amongst the Maskilim themselves, a feeling of depression, of having supported a lost cause set in. And the fact that then, in order to get anywhere in Russia, one had to convert and become Russian Orthodox, the fact that many Maskilim chose that route out of desperation, the fact that many of them became the censors, the official censors for the Russian government. You could not print a Hebrew book in Russia, a Jewish book in Russia, without the imprimatur of the Tsar. If you'll remind me next time, if I remember, I have a safer with that, with the double-headed eagle of the Romanovs on the front page with the censor's name signed, that everything in the book is, you know, there's nothing against Christianity or nothing against the Tsar in it. Those censors were Jews. They were mainly Maskilim. Some of them were cooperative with Jews. Others did their job with a vengeance. But all of this served that the Haskalah lost its shine, it's lost its luster. It didn't get anybody anywhere. The situation was not better. And whether you spoke perfect Hebrew or whether you wrote poems in Yiddish,